The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. There are several new innovations being explored and applied in the different levels of consciousness, be it in the physical, emotional, mental, and/or spiritual realm. We will explain and compare these new healing elements to help improve the quality of life for you and your loved ones. Now, here is Dr. Michael Cudlis.
Hey, welcome to another Speaking of Health. Dr. Michael Cudlis here, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Regular listeners to the show know that I am a chiropractor, and I've been practicing chiropractic for about 32 years. We have a cold and wintry day here today, and as I was thinking about our show today, I started to think about information and how, you know, we talk about information highways and how important information is. And the different types of information. You know, you can have print media, you can have digital media, you can have written media, you know, I guess that's print media. What about intuition? Does that count as information? Can we use our intuition to help us on a regular basis? So I have some information today on intuition. The paper's called Intuition, Some Guidelines, or How Do You Know That You Really Know When You Really Know You Know, you know? So intuition is about gathering information. With the advent of computers, our ability to access and manipulate information has accelerated with each passing day. Gathering information has been a key to successful work in all areas of endeavor. In fact, it often appears that whoever has gathered the most information has the greatest flexibility and the most opportunities. Especially in my work as a chiropractor, the ability to access, gather, and manipulate information for and about our patients and with their help enables us to assist them as never before. And as a neuroemotional technique practitioner, our ability to utilize information gathered from different levels of the patient's consciousness further enhances our ability to help them. We gather information in a way different from the standard research methods most people are aware of. So to some, it may appear odd, strange, weird, or just not right. The important thing is the information, though. How do we get it? How accurate is it? And how do we know that it's accurate? We can use the NET protocol to fill in the data, but it's the data itself that really determines the success for the patient. No information, no data, nothing processed or corrected. Our NET protocol assists us in gathering information by the suppositions that we pose and how the patient responds. But what about that other process that happens, that gestalt that occurs when instead of going from A to B, we go from A to G without processing all the other information in between? What happened to B, C, D, E, and F? In this process, this intuitive leap, nothing is lost, and maybe even greater understanding occurs simultaneously. Such intuitive leaps have probably occurred to anyone actively practicing NET for any length of time, and for those of us who practice NET intent on becoming the best we possibly can, we can begin to rely on our ability to utilize information and data from this intuitive process as it begins to occur more routinely. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines intuition as a quick and ready insight, immediate apprehension or cognition, knowledge or conviction gained by intuition, or the one that I like, the power or faculty of attaining to direct knowledge or cognition without evident rational thought and inference. Without rational thought or inference, uh-oh. That sounds unscientific. Some kind of woo-woo New Age stuff. Better not go there. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Beware. So golly gee, do we dare go there? My answer is yes. We not only dare go there, we have to go there if we're going to best serve the public. For me, intuition is merely gathering indirect information directly from the source of all information. And there are ways to do that, ways that can be taught, practiced, and improved upon. The rest of this paper is about those things that I've learned about using the intuitive process and how to know that I really know when I really do know, you know? So the field of information. It may seem odd to some, but information has to come from someplace. We last century folks were used to looking it up in books, using card files in the library. And now we use the computer in the great library of cyberspace, Google, the source of the all. But actually, throughout time, there's always been a reference to a source of some kind. Even today, depending upon the area of study, this trend continues. If we're speaking in religious terms, we speak of God and his omnipotence, the all-seeing eye, etc. If we think about the field of psychology, Jung spoke about the collective unconscious. If we talk philosophy, Deepak Chopra speaks of the field of infinite possibilities. D.D. and B.J. Palmer referred to it as a universal intelligence. As far back as the 13th century, Rumi, the great mystic poet, said, "Out beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there." When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase "each other" doesn't make any sense. If we speak scientific lexicon, Heisenberg, the developer of the uncertainty principle in physics and protege to Einstein, said, "Every tool carries with it the spirit by which it has been created. Since the measuring device has been constructed by the observer, we must remember that what we observe is not nature itself, but nature exposed to our method of questioning." I find that very interesting when a physicist speaks of spirit in his writings. So what if there is something or somewhere other than the great Google, Wikipedia, or the library where information can be garnered? Remember Friedrich August Kuechly, who discovered the shape of the benzene ring? The shape came to him in a dream of a snake seizing its own tail. Now, it's known as Ouroboros in many ancient cultures. Intuition has been with us in some form since we've been human. Even if we claim to be a rational scientist or mechanistic researcher, we cannot escape that information comes to us from a power or faculty attaining to direct knowledge or cognition without rational thought and inference. Today, much research and documentation has been scientifically made about the zero-point field as a source of information. In the pre-Einstein times, it was referred to as the ether. In this paper, we'll refer to the zero-point field, or ZPF. I wonder if that's where the great Google goes for its answers. The zero-point field. Scientifically speaking, quantum physicists have also discovered a field of infinite possibilities, the zero-point zone. This is a field from which possibilities can be actualized. As Lynn McTaggart notes in her book, The Field, in today's arena of conscious research, with its many theories of how we perceive reality, one that appears to have received general acceptance is Carl Pribram's holographic model, according to which reality is actually something we create in our minds. Based upon mathematical precision and confirmed by over 700 experiments undertaken by biologists Paul Prittig, who actually sought to discredit Prebram's theory. Prebram's holographic model of reality claims that we don't just see objects per se, but only their quantum information. And out of that, we construct our image of the world. That is, we construct the three-dimensional reality we think we merely perceive. This concept, in fact, was a foundational principle of quantum physics when it first emerged nearly a century ago. So, how do we do that? Prebram not only states that the brain interprets reality holographically, but also, and more importantly, he shows that quantum waves have the ability to store enormous amounts of information in totality and in a three-dimensional form from which the brain, through a series of mathematically predicted cycles, can read this information and create the world as we know it. So, in effect, seeing the world is really a matter of transforming it from the spaceless and timeless waveforms of the quantum field into a discrete time-space reality we all generally accept as the world. In so doing, we have tuned into the zero-point field, the field of infinite possibilities from which we can construct our world and then perceive it to be what we have constructed. Crucial to us as practitioners is the quantum concept that the reality we all construct includes the self. Equally crucial is the notion of the zero-point field as the arena of consciousness. Well-designed experiments undertaken by some future scientists, or frontier scientists, as McTaggart calls them, suggested that consciousness is a substance outside the confines of our bodies, a highly ordered energy with the capacity to change physical matter, including cells, and indeed entire multi-celled organisms like human beings. This comes from her book, The Intention Experiment. Thus it is in this zero-point field or zone that our consciousness can meet that of our clients and we do our work. According to quantum physics, sprinkled with a dose of logic, we can never create an accurate reality because there's no viewpoint from which we can determine what is or isn't accurate. However, as an NET practitioner, though, we can see that whatever our client's sense of self is quite functional, thank you, or not so functional. Clearly, being disoriented within the field, as by a neuroemotional complex, that can seriously underline and disrupt one's ability to individually interpret reality, including the reality each of us calls the self. Since it's been clinically proven that NECs can disrupt our perception of reality, being able to assist the patient to the greatest degree possible within the zero-point field would allow for the greatest opportunity for an efficient NEC correction. So for the practitioner to understand the ZPF better makes it easier for him in helping the patient. So this idea of information seems to have a central construct, the zero-point field. When we come back, we're going to go in a little bit more depth with that and see if we can really figure out how do you know that you really know when you really know, you know? This is Dr. Michael Cudlis. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Every day, you hear so much about different aspects of the health and wellness field. One day, you hear one thing, and the next day, you hear something that contradicts what you heard the day before. How do you know what's right? Try tuning in to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Our goal is to educate and explore this field with guest experts in order to help you take control of your health and well-being. Listen Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hey, welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudlis here. We're talking about information, how we gather it. We're talking about information or intuition and how we use it. We're talking a little bit about the zero-point field and how a neuroemotional component or complex, a disturbance to the nervous system and the emotions of the body, can disrupt our ability to decode the zero-point field. So if neuroemotional complexes can disrupt our ability to decode the information, the interference patterns of the universal field of information to such a degree as to cause resultant physical, emotional, mental, or unconscious trauma, then having a clinically practical, reproducible, and reliable technique that eliminates such a distortion lens of dis-ease seems to me to be enormously beneficial to mankind. Look at it. Look at this as sort of a nonviolent clinical dope slap, a way of shocking in a loving way a patient back to reality, a reality that is a more accurate interpretation of their world. Neuroemotional technique correction may literally resort the brain's ability to decode the interference patterns of the zero-point field. Well, that's pretty cool, eh? For example, it's been my clinical experience that people who lose their place in reality, sometimes, just like one might lose their place in a city, things look familiar, but they're just not quite right, and the person does not know where to turn. In over 80% of the time, the main distortion that occurs is one with time. In terms of the patient's reality, they really don't know what time it is. That is to say, their brain is interpreting, operating in, and creating a present reality based on decoded interference patterns on one level, but the resultant reality is not in sync with the time reference they're creating on another. As a result, they're in sort of a time warp. Essentially, and usually, it's from the past to the present that leads to non-congruence. The remaining 20% of the time, one of the other referencing locators, who, what, where, when, etc., will allow us to expose the non-congruence. They're just off in the relation to who, what, why, where, how, or when. We've all experienced this non-congruent phenomenon because each of us express it the same way. As an NEC, a neuroemotional complex. Yes, Rod Serling is our friend. And we all are, or have been, in the twilight zone. Now, levels of consciousness. In one of my previous papers that I wrote, I mentioned various levels of consciousness that are a part of everyone's reality. These levels of consciousness, physical, imaginative, emotional, mental, unconscious, and energetic, are all neurologically connected and therefore susceptible to an NEC. If we are aware of these levels, which can be accessed in the zero-point field, we are able to pinpoint the NEC to a greater degree and be more accurate in our intuitive applications. B.J. Palmer said chiropractic is specific or it is nothing, and he was right. The more specific we can be within the ZPF, the zero-point field, concerning an NEC, the more accurate and efficient we can be in helping the patient release it. The following descriptions of the levels of consciousness are verbatim from my previous paper, and they are this: the physical level. Physical level deals with this world and the physical universe. It is the densest level you will work with energetically, and various types of energy work are performed here. Our neuro-emotional entry level is here, as are the adjustments we make. All other levels have dominion over the physical level. The imaginative or astral level. The astral level is the level of imagination. It is sometimes referred to as the creative visualization level. How wild is our imagination? That's what's here. It has control over the physical level. The emotional level. This is the level of the emotions. Most of our karma or life lessons are seated here. You know the power of the emotions. Well, that's the power of this level. It supplies the energy for the physical action of our mental thoughts. It has control over the levels below it, and part of our ego arises out of this level. The mental level. The remainder of the ego comes from this level. It is the level of the mind and our thoughts. Thoughts which arise here and are acted upon pick up emotional energy on the way down to the physical, so they can be made manifest in the world as physical reality. Because action follows thought. The unconscious level. This is the level of our non-conscious self. Everything that has happened to us is stored here symbolically and connected to the collective unconscious of mankind. Working on this level makes you sleepy or feel tired. Spirit, self, God, energetic. This level is whatever you want it to be. It is the least dense of all the levels of consciousness and the most rarefied. It is sometimes called the soul level, or the first positive level of spirit, with all the other levels below it being negative. Negative not as bad or evil, but rather as poles on a magnet, are positive or negative, one balancing the other. These levels are quite straightforward and can be easily entered upon when one is aware of their existence. They will usually show a problem when the other forms of entry are negative. They basically provide another door with which we can access the patient's consciousness for work to do there. Now, the guidelines. With all that being said, here are the things that I've found that have made the greatest sense to me in working intuitively. I do not imagine this is a complete list by any measure, as I find new ways all the time that help me. So I anticipate that improvements to my intuition will continue to occur right up to my graduation from this level. But it is as complete a list as I could come up with for now. So, here we go. The ego. I want to do this one first because the ego is one on the short list. Ego is counterproductive to intuition. That's all you really have to know. The greater the ego, the less intuitive accuracy. That's simple, isn't it? Put another way, fat head, no intuition. In most cases, these practitioners will think they're the greatest gift to the patient since disposable diapers, and usually they'll be full of the same material. You can spot these practitioners because their ego arrives 5 to 10 minutes before they do. They're a danger to patients and should be avoided at all costs and or quietly taken out and just put to sleep. Being centered. I never do any work with someone without centering myself first. I call myself forward into the light of the universe, asking for assistance and guidance for the highest good of all concern. And if you were to do this, you can do it with whatever way works for you. This allows me to anchor myself firmly so that regardless of what happens, I cannot be moved off my personal foundation. This also opens me up to the other levels of consciousness so more of me is available. All the levels of consciousness can then line up and are present right now for the session. Centering anchors me in present time consciousness. We'll talk about that in a minute. This allows for more options and directions from which information can flow during this session. Centering offers an opportunity for the mystical, that which is a mystery, and the metaphysical, that which is other than physical, to be part of the session. If we accept that the zero-point field is the source of all information, then it only makes sense to be as available as possible to receive what has to offer from all the levels possible. Centering myself allows for this. Intuition. Intuition means to have a preconceived notion or idea about what you want to do. Setting an intention is to have a plan of how you want to proceed. It's a very powerful tool in your intuition arsenal. From Dorland's Medical Dictionary, intuition is a manner of healing. Without it, nothing can be accomplished in an organized manner. And with it, you can move mountains, open hearts, and manifest destinies. Setting intention after centering yourself can be an extremely powerful in aligning your consciousness, improving your intuitive ability, and your resourcefulness. Because the centering opens your levels of consciousness, expanding your inner levels, and maximizing the effect of your stated intention, your manner of healing, throughout all your inner levels, strengthening the overall result and work. Neutrality. Now, neutrality is an important key. Neutrality allows empathy to raise the vibration of the session. Empathy, according to Dorland's, the recognition of the entering into the feelings of another person, is a powerful tool for us to have at our disposal, as opposed to sympathy, which, again from Dorland's, is the influence exerted by one individual upon another, or received from another, and the effects thus produced, as in the transfer of hysterical symptoms. Emphasis is mine. Isn't that just what you want to do if you're in a session with somebody? Hysterical symptoms. Ego people do sympathy, which means they usually do their work to people and not with them. Let's see why that they should be taken out and just quietly put to... Well, you get the idea. Being natural can be tough. Being neutral can be tough, especially when we want to help someone so much that we'll do anything to be of service. And we'll be right back. We're going to talk about some more guidelines to intuition. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis. We're on Speaking of Health, and we'll be right back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Good childhood mental health is critically important. Early patterns of emotions and thinking shape children's behavior from preschool into the teen years and beyond. But understanding young kids can be a challenge. Tune in to Child Psych Central, Discover the Kid Brain with Dr. Beth Onofrack. Each week, we will reveal how brain function and child development drive young children's daily behavior
Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. It's one of the best things that you can do as a parent.
Explore the power of natural healing with Howard Strauss. Join us each week for an informative program that'll help you learn effective healing methods using natural remedies. Howard's guests include top researchers, authors, and experts who will share their views on a variety of natural products and healing methods that really work. Tune in to The Power of Natural Healing with Howard Strauss, Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking about guidelines to intuition, and we're talking about the importance of neutrality in intuition. Neutrality requires a tough stand in empathy. We must be ruthless and impeccable in our honesty and integrity. We must be the patient's champion. We can go into the patient's feelings, but we must be very sure none of their emotional doo-doo sticks to us. We cannot be the patient's champion if we too are sucked down into their emotional whirlpool. Our emotions cannot enter into the fray. We need to have what Carl Rogers said was a feeling of unconditional positive regard for the patient, or what we would call today a feeling of unconditional loving. Unconditional loving serves as our compass to guide us, and neutrality is our rudder to steer both us and the patient a healing course home so that both of us can return safely to the shores of reality, regardless of the emotional maelstrom of the patient. I found that by observing myself with the patient, almost as if I was a third person in the session, objectively, just watching it, gives me this neutrality. Just observing the scene you're in with the patient leads to neutrality. Step back. Just observe the two of you together. Sense the big picture of what's happening. Since it's all perfect anyway, it doesn't matter what happens. When you have this sense and you apply it to your skills, miracles can happen. Because now you've gotten out of your own way. Awe, wonderment, gratitude, and innocence. Be in awe of your patient's process. I can't tell you how many patients I've stood in awe over after hearing their story. I find it amazing that they're still alive after what has happened to them. Awe allows for a deep appreciation of another person. It opens the door for the wonderment of being in the presence of another soul, in the actuality of their existence. The strength and commitment they demonstrate to their process, to life itself. I never cease to marvel at the human's ability to keep on keeping on through God knows what. Each person with their own stuff, their own life lessons, their challenges, their karma, or whatever else you want to call it. And they show up to face it and keep showing up, just like you and I do, day in and day out. Doing life to the best of their ability, breathing in, breathing out, until they graduate from this place and breath is no longer necessary. Awe and wonderment of what I see in that person takes me into gratitude and innocence, that place where Rumi referred to when he said, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrongdoing, there is a field. I will meet you there. When you can go to that place, that heartfelt existence of where souls mingle, innocence overcomes you. Being so centered opens the universe to you. It's a place of no time, a place of right now, a place of forever was and ever will be, all at once. You stand in great strength knowing you are safe, standing there in complete knowing, with a capital K, as opposed to knowing with a small k, as if I'm knowing this because I read it somewhere. Knowing it through experience. Knowing truth, beauty, and joy as absolutes and with infinite compassion for all. This is not doing, nor is it simply being. Rather, it's the state of the I-thou relationship that Maslow referred to in his writings. Such is one's awareness after the application of awe, wonderment, gratitude, and innocence with the patient. Present time consciousness, or PTC. Ram Dass spoke of being here now, as does the popular Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now. The Buddhist monks speak of mindfulness. Jimmy Parker and Viktor Frankl spoke of present time consciousness, or PTC. PTC is that state of right now, not yesterday, nor tomorrow, but right now, when everything that ever was or will be is. When you are in a state of PTC with your client or patient, there is a limbic connection with them that allows for magic to happen. For you are standing right on the ZPF beach, the zero-point field beach, in the quantum waves that are breaking into reality. You focus on nothing, and yet are aware of everything. Soft focus. Easy does it. Alert and aware. Centering yourself is very helpful in establishing PTC. You are not worried about the checkbook, the kids, how many new patients we have in the books, none of that. It's just you and the patient as they are. There is a subtle immenseness to this state. When you are in the zero-point field, it is as if you are the smallest droplet of water in the largest ocean in the universe, and you are aware of every aspect of it. From here, the application of any of your protocols takes on a different aspect. From here, you and the patient have access to all levels of consciousness, to the all there is, and everything is present to assist. PTC allows you and the patient to do your best, maximum efficiency with minimum effort, as the founder of Judo, Jigoro Kano, would say. Another aspect, healing yourself. Your intuition will never go on that point that you have healed yourself. Or the level to which you have healed yourself is the level to which you will be able to heal others. That's one of my laws from another paper I wrote on patient retention, building a healing community through a quantum practice. For you to help heal others effectively, you must continually be healing yourself. There is no getting around that. That's why Scott Walker emphasizes the buddy work, the developer of NET. It's not just to help you master the NET protocol by working with another doctor, but rather it's about having the NET protocol help you in an ongoing positive way, clearing away the garbage that is not you but sticks to you anyway. Helping yourself heal first so that you can help other heal is a good adage to hold on to and to practice. My ability to help others has increased in direct proportion to me clearing my own stuff. I step forward every day to face my own devils and to love them into submission so that I can serve my fellow man. Self-healing is an action, one best done on a continuous basis. I know when I'll be done healing because I'll be dead. Healing ourselves is what this earth school is all about. And when we're done with our healing, we will graduate. In some quarters, it's called death. In others, it's called ascension. So working your own process helps you intuitively to help others because you can learn from your own process and then apply that to others when the time is right. My understanding of how consciousness works has come largely from my own inner work. Plato said, "Know thyself and nothing too much." I've remembered that and applied that to my life routinely in my quest to know myself. For to know oneself is to heal oneself, and to heal oneself allows you to be able to lift others up as well, at least to the point where you are, safely and with the highest good for all concerned. building rapport. This clarity for your best work comes about by first building rapport with the patient in the state that they are in. The more familiar the surroundings, the easier it is to concentrate. By being familiar with the inner realms of reality, the levels of consciousness, we can more easily listen to what the patient is truly saying. Establishing good patient rapport is dependent upon a number of things. First off, you have to be the doctor, an open, loving, caring parent authority, establishes outwardly patient trust and confidence in you. If you're not sure how to do this, well, then maybe you shouldn't be the doctor, but there are ways. Not part of this paper. Deep listening. Being able to hear everything that's truly being said is a learned skill. Research in NET has shown that only 7% of communication between people is in the words spoken. The rest of the communication involves body language, syntax, etc. So really, our ability to understand reality depends on a lot of other things. Our attention in gathering information from a conversation is really then a complicated process, requiring a multidimensional approach. So too, with intuition, our ability to understand what is going on requires a multidimensional approach and awareness. We hear the words, and by how they're said, feel what's behind them. And that triggers within us a response based upon the framework of our reality. The bigger our reality, the bigger the response that is possible. That is why understanding the levels of consciousness and how they work and gaining a familiarity within them adds to our intuitive ability. The larger our listening antenna, the more sensitive we can become. And the more sensitive we can become, the clearer the message and the more obvious our response. Deep listening requires that one go inside. Inside. But just where is that? Inside what? Inside who? Deep listening is the easiest way I know how to say it. If you could use your intuitive sense by reading it off the wall, I'd say go read it off the wall. But it requires that you go inside yourself to where the patient is waiting for you, out beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing. One important rule to remember is we live our lives internally, but we express them externally. That reality is a quantum rule. You think who you think I am is who I am for you, not who I say I am. Your reality of me is based upon what is happening inside of you, and not really what I'm doing. In our perception of things, it is our perception of things that creates those things. So when I say go inside, I'm saying go back in your consciousness to where you perceive the patient inside of you and work from there. Remember, from there you have access to all levels of your consciousness and you will be able to perceive the patient multidimensionally as you understand that reality to be the zero-point field. This will work because you've obtained permission from the patient to do this. When you first asked, you seem to have an NEC, do you want to play? This opens up the patient as well to his or her own world, because this is how this works. So in fact, you both end up going inside, working the outer reality of the patient, but from the inside. So how do you know that you really know? So how do you know that you really know when you really know you know, you know? Well, you check it out. This is one of the real values of using suppositions and the way our protocol works. Using suppositions to gather information maintains the highest level of accuracy and integrity in your muscle testing procedures. By accurately posing suppositions, you have a constant feedback loop through the muscle test to validate the intuitive information. Checking it out is so important because even though you may be working for the highest good of all concern, championing for the patient, you still have to make sure your intuitive information is valid. So if you're paying attention to the process, a very wise thing to do, you'll begin to see, feel, or hear a pattern of a form of how, what, and where your information comes from. For me, there's a particular place in my head where I see the sounds or hear the pictures of the information. And that may sound a little weird at first. If the information comes from other places in my head or somewhere else, they're suspect and I can't trust them. Your intuitive process will develop, and that's a guaranteed certainty because we are all human beings with the same type of interpretive holographic brain. Because we're human, we have the same equipment, so we interpret the field the same way. And by doing the things I've recommended here, plus whatever you discern for yourself, your intuition is sure to happen. So, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis, speaking of health.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas, remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Do you know about Reiki? This method of healing can complement Western medicine as well as other alternative practices. Besides healing, it can have the additional effect of making you feel more positive about yourself and the world around you. By tuning into For the Love of Reiki with host Paula Vale, you'll find how Reiki can improve your health, bring balance into your life, and fill you with joy. For the Love of Reiki is broadcast live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hey, welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudlis here. And we're concluding our talk about intuition. So in conclusion, deep intuitive listening is really about gathering information from inside of us rather than the more accepted outside of us through the standard information sources. With the new science that is emerging today, one based on a quantum reality that we are all connected and that one action in the universe affects the rest of the universe through the zero-point field, it behooves us to open our consciousness to those areas to better help our patients. Opening our consciousness means opening on all levels, physically, imaginatively, emotionally, mentally, unconsciously, and spiritually, to the best of our ability in a heartfelt, unconditionally loving way. By opening our hearts, we open the way to a greater knowledge of deeper insight and intuition, which leads to a more meaningful relationship, not only with ourselves, but with our fellow man, but also with the very universe itself. I can see a time when an intuitive source will not be suspect, but as accepted as any other source of information. This will happen, I believe, as more and more people develop their own intuitive abilities so they can check it out for themselves. Right now, intuitive access looks weird only because it's unfamiliar to so many. Horace Greeley once said, "Go west, young man, go west." Well, we've been there and done that, and I bet you probably have the t-shirt besides. What the new quantum science today is saying is go inside, people. Go inside. That's where the next frontier and true wealth of healing is. That is where the heart of reality offers us the greatest gifts and the surest methods of touching the abundance of our real selves, of who we are, have been, or ever will be. That of who we truly are right now. The path is one of both external knowledge and intuitive flexibility, having not just the know-how mentally, but the intuitive heart-how to ruthlessly go where more and more true healers are going for the answers to life's mysteries and health's realities, inside, empathetically, intuitively, loving to that field out beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing. I'll meet you there. This is Speaking of Health, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis. There's a little information for you on intuition and how to gain yours, how to develop it, how to enhance it, and how to use it. Don't distrust your intuition. It's unique to you. It's an expression of your beautiful soul on this planet, and it's your ability. One way to express who you are on this planet. Use it, develop it, trust it, because that means use it because of who you are. Trust who you are. Express who you are. Let your soul shine for all on this planet to hear, to see, and to experience. That's why you came here on the planet, to be the best you can become, to express yourself wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly, with all of your heart, sharing your loving, sharing your knowledge, sharing your wisdom. Easy to do if you trust yourself. Trust yourself first. Trust others secondly. Now, those are things that we aren't usually taught, that's for sure. We're usually taught the other way around. But by trusting your heart, and you know, it means you're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's part of being here on the planet. Physically, this is not a perfect universe. Well, the universe is perfect, but our actions aren't always perfect. You know, I have a saying that you strive for perfection, but you accept excellence. And as long as you're doing the very best you can, any mistakes you're doing, you just start over and do it again. You know, it's kind of like in the movies when they do a scene and they do a take of a scene. And they go through and they run the take. And if it's fine, then they print it and that goes in the movie. If it's not so fine, they do a retake. And they do a retake because there was a mistake somewhere in the take or in the scene. So really, in our movie of life, if we have a mistake, it's just a retake. We go back and do it over till it's right. It doesn't have to be a big shocking deal. Everybody makes errors. It's part of the planet. So just do your retakes with heartfelt loving. And remember, no matter what happens to you, no matter how bad it can be, and if you judge yourself and you beat yourself up, always finish that judgment and self-beating with the words, "And I'm still a magnificent person. And I'm still a magnificent person." God didn't make us with junk. God didn't make us because we are junk. We are perfection. We're an expression and an extension of His loving heart. Remember that. Human means God man. God is within each of us, loving, caring, and sharing. So we have the opportunity for abundance, prosperity, and riches, health, wealth, and happiness. All of those things that make up a happy world. We have those opportunities. We need to choose them. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis, and this is Speaking of Health. And join us next week when we'll be speaking with Dr. Larry Goodman with the Goodman technique. And so remember, God bless you. I love you. Peace be still. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Speaking of Health. Please join Dr. Michael Cudlis again next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a heartfelt and healthy week.